One, two, three. Welcome to Muay Thai Bones.
Shard edition.
Shard edition.
So this is not a Muay Thai Bones podcast, but it's Sylvie and Kevin of the Muay Thai Bones podcast. And we just wanted to take we're doing something a little bit different. This is going to be a short little segment where we talk about something that we're excited about and fascinated with that doesn't get talked about a lot. It's the kind of thing we might do in a Muay Thai Bones podcast. But this is just focused on a new film short that I made a couple days ago. And why did we want to talk about this?
The ideas in the film
you felt are not easily obvious, maybe.
I don't know that I would say that. Kevin was burning it, and I walked behind him, and he's like, don't look at it. It was like this totally secret project, and then he unveiled it, and I cried. It was really beautiful.
I cried
too. It is
really
beautiful. And I don't think that it's not immediately obvious. I just think that it touches on and actually really comes from a very deep place in my experience that might not be relatable to a lot of people. Not that it's not immediately represented, but that it's not necessarily relatable because it's so
I think it's
deep.
Really relatable, but maybe not for in terms of Muay Thai training, but in life, in the grand scale of things.
Yeah.
And so just a little bit of a background, we watched a film called Blanca Nieves, which is Spanish for Snow White, made in 2012. We watched that a couple nights ago, and it's just this beautiful reimagining of Snow White in this silent film aesthetic with really blown out whites, and it's just beautiful photography. And it ties in with the photography I've been doing, but it kind of inspired me to get this film noir, silent film look. And so I wanted to shoot some footage of Sylvie and see about pulling it into this look. So go watch that film if you're interested in these kinds of things.
Even if you're not, watch it. It's really good.
It's really amazing. It's the story of Snow White retold in Spanish bullfighting around the year 1920 or so. And there's some connections between a female Muay Thai fighter, a female bullfighter.
Yeah.
Some interesting connections that we could also talk about. And it really rang with us in different ways.
But aesthetically, it's just incredible.
It's incredible. It's so I was inspired by that film. And then I was like, I just want to start shooting Sylvie's. I've gone to Sylvie sparring with Joachim Pahn. She spars with Joachim Pahn. If you don't know who he is, it's the Elbow of 100 Stitches. He's a underestimated legend of the sport. He's probably the greatest elbow fighter ever.
For sure.
And he is incredibly generous in that he spars with Sylvie every day, 6 days a week for an hour a day.
And he spars hard. We had to get him different headgear because I cut his mouth.
Totally. He spars very hard. We gave him some Max Protect, which you can see in the film now.
Yeah.
But why we wanted to talk about it is, to me, the film, I cried too when we watched it together. The film, to me, captures something that you've been working with as a fighter and really as a human being, like the art of martial art, which is this excavation of the self. And I titled the film To Wrestle with the Angel, after the biblical Jacob wrestling with the angel story. So maybe what we want to talk about is, what does it mean to wrestle with the angel as a human being, but also as a Muay Thai fighter, and for you in particular? Because some of these experiences are just very few people get this far up the mountain where they get to see and feel things that aren't awesome, aren't necessarily awesome feelings, because you're really excavating the self. So I kind of wanted to hear from you.
I thought that we came to this thing about wrestling with the angel somewhat convergently, which was interesting. But
what do you mean by that? Because I'm not even completely sure.
It means that we both thought of it And then, like, at the same time, maybe something made us each think of it independently, but it was not like a, hey, I thought this, and then I also think this. Like, it was, we both kind of, like, came to it this way, which was interesting. But the thing about that story that's so incredible is that, like, of course, wrestling with an angel is this, like, kind of cosmic, immense experience, but when, in the story, the way it actually takes place, it's at night, it's dark, and I don't think Jacob knows it's an angel right away.
Like, at least by our memory of
like
it, yeah.
You honestly could be wrestling with yourself or nothing. Like, it's this whole, like, what is there, and then it's kind of revealed to be an angel, which totally feels like the thing that you capture very well in this film.
There's a lot of darkness in this edit.
Yeah, it's you're not really seeing, like, the movements or, like, the strikes or who's dominating what thing. It's just this kind of, like, when we were watching it, I told you that it was a little bit like if you were to film chicken fighting, the feathers would just be this, like, it's very disorienting. It's just the chan is what they say in Thai. It's like the clash. But this, like, in darkness wrestling, this, like, I imagine you don't know whether you're dreaming or if you're fighting yourself. Like, the moments that you capture of me between rounds when I'm just trying to breathe or, like, recollect myself is very much that, like, I don't know if there's another entity present or not. It just feels like
That's where I get emotional.
Yeah, there's also these moments,
because you're
too,
recollecting yourself in very... these are not minor ways. You're not trying to catch your breath.
Yeah.
You're like, am I gonna fall apart, pull myself together?
Yes.
emotional states. And you go through these multiple times every hour of all these days. And the feeling for me as your husband who loves you is like, I wouldn't wish this on someone because it's harsh.
Yeah.
But it's part of trying to ascend to this other place in relationship to violence, I think.
There are really beautiful moments, too, because it's so contrasted, but it's also so zoomed in, that there are parts where Yeo-Kun Pan is, like, moving. We're, like, positioning ourselves to start, and he's just like a shadow. It's
Shark. His presence in the film is so beautiful because of the blackness.
Yeah.
He has a blue headgear. But it's black in the film, it's a black and white film, and the blackness and the skin of the leather is shiny and detailed, and he just has this incredible reality that's like shadow-like, but more substantive than a shadow. In our Muay Thai Bones podcast, we talk about how Sylvie, for many years, did not get the sparring she needed due to her size, due to the fact she was fighting so much, due to being a girl, due to that Thais don't favor lots of sparring for adults. They imagine you're more complete as a fighter because of just your age. And so it's something that's been neglected, or at least hasn't become a strong point for many years. And finally, we were just like, fuck that, we are going full bore on sparring. Like, this is going to become a strength of yours. And we found Yeo-Kun Pan to do this, who's just, he's wrestling with an angel. These Yod Moi are angels of the sport, really. Yeah. They're like celestial beings in a way, in that their knowledge and their experience in the realm of the highest level fighting of the Golden Age
and
is just,
like,
unreal.
Old Testament angels, where they were like with swords and like soldiers rather than the like singing, floating thing.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And you've been blessed that you've been able to know so many of these angels, like Diesel Noi and Karahat and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But Yeo-Kun Pan, because he's an elbow fighter, has maybe not gotten the respect that other fighters have, because elbow fighting in classically is one of the lesser respected weapons. And so he's been going full on with this. In this process, I kind of want to get more into this idea of, like, what is it we're trying to get with fighting or wrestling with an angel. Like, you could do sparring with other people, but here you're wrestling with an angel. It's a very different, to me, it's just a spiritual process. This is not even learning techniques. In the film, you see yourself just diving back in the water, diving back in the water, diving back in the water, like between exchanges, between rounds, this relentless, continuous diving back in the water.
It was a hard day, too. It was not a
like... Maybe you have no easy days.
I feel coordinated today kind of day.
Maybe you feel this way every day, though.
No.
You report that to me.
The next day, I was like, I felt really good, but...
Well, let's not talk about this day versus that day. I'm more interested in the process over many days, many weeks, many months.
That's the thing. It's like that saying that, like, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor.
Yeah.
Is that if there's a storm and the waves are going like this, you still have to get your boat in order. Mm. Or if the waves are kind of like this, you get your boat in order. Like, you have to stay on the sea. So a lot of the part of that film that's being expressed that maybe you think is relatable for a lot of people, and I feel isn't relatable to a lot of people, is just that, like, whatever you're experiencing, whatever your storm is, how big or how small the storm is, you just have to be on the waves. Like, there's no like, okay, I'm gonna hop onto the dock now. You're not docked.
Yeah.
You're at sea.
And I think that's infinitely relatable in the large scope of what life is like. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets their ass kicked by life. Mm-hmm. Everyone, eventually. Even people who've had easier lives. What's interesting to me is that by taking that life demand, that spiritual demand, and then putting it in the form of a fighting art, like Muay Thai, which has aesthetic principles, like how Yokompon is trying to get you to stand up at times, which is this dignity that of the root of the fighter, you kind of get to work on a spiritual side of yourself, but through the excuse of becoming a better fighter. By adhering to certain principles, so that you're actually working on spiritual things, but in the proxy of the body, the form of a Muay Thai fighter, a Thailand Muay Thai fighter, where Thailand is not kickboxing, it's not boxing, it's not MMA, has its own reality, and then you're doing it with a golden age legend, really, who has beautiful internal rhythms that you've got to be, they have to be communicating themselves with you. Mm-hmm. It's like, unwillingly forced to dance with the devil, like, every single day. You're going to pick up the rhythms of that way of dancing. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? I feel like there's very interesting things where in the West we try to, mimic or copy beautiful techniques and mechanically break them down. But this process is the opposite of that. It can only be if I feel like I've actually talked you into silence.
Yeah, you've lost me a little bit.
You kind of don't agree with me then that you're receiving you're learning his rhythms just by engaging with them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Okay.
I think that there's like a tendency in the pedagogy in the West to kind of isolate something from its context, from its everything. You like take this piece, like in a video game, how you like get the gun and then later find the ammunition, and then you like have this.
You're assembling.
Thing that you can go to.
Yeah, you're assembling something.
It's not really like that. It's more like carving or something. Like you're kind of like pulling these shapes out of the stuff of Muay itself.
Maybe this process of sparring with Yokompon is like really no other process you've undergone. Maybe a little bit pad work with Pinu in the old days. But the fact that you have no time to think or react outside of the moment, you're just forced in the moment. To me, it's very much like whitewater rapid, employing techniques in whitewater.
Yeah, I mean, it's learning
Shout
how
to
swim to by almost drowning a lot. almost drowning, because if you drown, you don't swim. But
yeah.
It is that kind of like, you know, baby horse or whatever, like just has to keep getting up to learn to walk. And so it appears like this kind of like miraculous, natural effect or learning process or something. But I feel like he's learning too. Like he's actually stolen some moves from me in this process.
Which you stole from other legends.
No, some of them are mine actually.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
You're uncreative.
But yeah, there are some that I've like shaped from other people and he's like, what is that? And kind of takes from it. But that's his thing, is that it's this kind of like molding, moving apparatus rather than a like, pull the block from here that goes here and then this one fits here but the other pieces don't.
Yeah, it's part of that
like
Western
technique.
Mechanistic mind, which I'd love to actually talk about how that fits into capitalism and business models of martial arts and gyms and pedagogies and how to transfer knowledge from one culture to another culture.
That's a Muay Thai Bones.
That's a Muay Thai Bones one.
Sure.
But I also want to make sure like, there's something about this film that just fucking surprised me.
Well,
like
this
that
is the
it
thing.
Just surprised me.
You.
It even surprised me watching it with you again.
You don't come to all of my sparring sessions, but
yeah.
You come to a lot of them.
Right.
It's been 7 months or something, 8 months maybe, that
okay.
We've been doing this.
I don't know.
It's but like when you come with your camera and you're like, I'm going to film this.
Yeah.
You made that film out of something that's actually happening, but films are necessarily constructed.
Well, to be truthful about it, I used almost all the footage I shot. The only time I cut a shot was when I could feel the energy, like the pressure of the shot dissipating, and then when it dissipates, it's necessary to link it to another shot. But I would say like 90% of what I shot is in the film. So it's not a very manipulated film. Also deciding to continue the shot or end the shot when I'm actually filming. But I was just shocked at how something came through there that's very earned. That you've been in the water now with him, and hopefully we'll continue this for a year or two more. You've been in the water with him, and now the camera is unforgiving when it's on your face. You can't hide your emotions and your reactions. When you come out of a flurry and you reassemble yourself 2 feet away from him, your emotional textures are there right on the camera, and the camera is like very like contrasted up so that they're emphasized really. Those things you cannot fake. If you have a moment of self-doubt, it'll ripple across your face. If you have a moment of assembling yourself to pride or sharpened attention, it comes across your face. That's what's really cool about this film, is for me, what's emotional about it is not only how much you've suffered, and lots of people suffer in very hard sparring all over the world, but you've suffered, endured, and tried to reassemble yourself. That's a lot about what fighting is about, is that you expose yourself to the experiences of violence that may have broken an untrained person, and you learn how to reassemble yourself, where you're almost crumbling and then you decrumble. And I feel like that film not only captured the work that you have put in, but also the way that it has changed you and given you this dignity in the face of the feathers of flying, like in this very, it's very beautiful because it captures the result. And we in the West were like, oh, well then the result is shown in the fighting, but it's more than the fighting. Like you don't, when you face an opponent, you don't know what your opponent can allow you to do.
Yeah.
Your opponent may be bigger, they may be better, they may be, there may be disadvantages that are inherent. Their style closes off your style. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many things that a fight doesn't always tell where you are or who you are. Like we have that thing, like wins, you're always worse than you look when you win, and you're always better than you look when you lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like this training moment on film shows some other deeper layer of development.
It's interesting to me because we've talked many times, both amongst ourselves and also publicly, like Muay Thai Bones, about how fights feel and look really different depending on where you are. The referee in the ring versus even being ringside, like on the ropes, versus being in the audience versus watching it on TV. Like each one of those can completely change
a very different fight.
What a fight feels like. Where you watched it live and you're like, that was bullshit. That guy totally won and they gave him the loss. And then you watch it on TV and you're like, oh, that's not...
Maybe
that's
not.
That's not really what that felt like when I was there.
Yeah.
That the way you shot it, and you weren't that close. You were not as close as it looks. The way you shot it is my vantage point. That's what it feels like for me, because I'm in it. I'm fighting. Like, the referee isn't even that close. Like, he's still a bit farther back.
Yeah.
And you were not that close in the ring. You were able to shoot from farther away, so you were not engaging with it. But you've never been that close, but you're seeing that close. So for you to, like, actually kind of transport yourself into that space.
Yeah, I think that's another interesting thing about the film is that it's kind of art housey, of course, with the edits and the blown out quality and the focus shifts. Because I'm looking for the accidents of automatic focus blurring and focusing accidentally to create disorientation and then orientation. I really like that. I was very surprised how it just like put one right into the teeth of the conflict. And when you're fighting, I'm not a fighter, but when you're fighting, I feel like this must be what happens in fighting when you enter the fighting space, that 2.5 feet between you, suddenly perceptions get fucking blown out. Like, you don't see that hook before it connected to you. You can't many times people just close their eyes. They take a memorized combination and they just go through the fighting zone with this memorized combination and they don't even experience what's happening in there. And I think a lot of what we're doing with this sparring is really about trying to like open the eyes in that space, that sacred space where things are just fucking connecting. And that if you can see 5% or 10% more than your opponent, you have a huge advantage. And so in a weird way, the film photographs or communicates that fog of war kind of thing in a really interesting way. And it reminds me, Sophie's brother, Gabe, is a whitewater expert of some kind. I'm just an amazing, passionate whitewater guy. And I feel like you have techniques of whitewater rafting, how to straighten your boat, how to, if it's overturned, to return it. I'm sure there's just very important techniques, but you're always submitted to the power of the water. And so as a fighter, you are submitting yourself to that engagement, that 2.5 feet of unpredictability and the loss of orientation. And then you are constantly writing yourself. You're like, get spun out, and then you write yourself.
There's also a, like, being able to see the path down the current or the rapids. Like, you can't, you actually don't have time to see it and be like, should I go this way or should I go that way? You have to have the kind of eyes that, like, as you're in the current approaching it, you're like, that way.
Yeah.
It's like that. I was telling Yud Kun Pan that the thing about elbow fighting and being so close is that we're always talking about eyes, like being able to see. Elbow fighting is so close, it's only feeling. I'm always like, if you're thinking it, you're too late. If you're seeing it with elbows, you're too late. Like, you just have to feel it.
Right.
Like, you don't even have time or space to see it. You just
and
have to feel
it. And he's talked
it.
To you about that. He's starting to feel you that you have developed the Jangwat of Jangwat rhythm, timing of elbows. For him, there's a specific kind of rhythming and timing. And now he's like, the next level of understanding is how knees connect up with this, in that rhythm. So, I don't know. Watch the film. It's on YouTube, free for everyone. And we're just kind of thank you all the patrons that help us, me develop the photographic side of mm-hmm. this. You know, we're trying to do podcasts and technique stuff, but we've also made it a mission to create this photographic, artistic expression of what's happening, because that too is an important thing. It's not just all ideas. And so I'm really proud of this one piece that's gotten in there, because this, I don't know, it's never been captured in this way, at least.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the reason, real reason I think people become fighters or attracted to martial arts, is they are drawn to this idea of putting themselves in fire and becoming fire, or becoming immune to fire, or being able to move through fire in some way. Like, mm-hmm. that's really the dream. And I think it's analogical to, analogical to our lives, where we get exposed to real fires of our lives.
Analogous,
yeah. I could also talk about
I don't know the word you're using, analogical.
It means it's of the same shape, but fits in a different way.
Okay.
That's good. But I think I'm thinking of that concept, but that's the word that was probably drawing me. So
thank you for supporting us so that we have this artistic arm of what's happening,
along with Sylvia's incredible documentary arm of what's happening with Patreon in the Muay Thai Library. Pretty good?